right. Our choice is either to fear God or fear man. If you fear God, you're not likely to fear man. But if you fear man, you're not going to fear God. You'll make choices that will lead to deception. Get a copy of the book, Seduction of the Saints, friends. If you ever, this is a profound application. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries. You might also want to seriously consider getting one of those water purifiers and the emergency radios, because the government is planning for chaos. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next 2 hours are going to be the views of Dr. Russ Blaylock, and we're going to be talking about the type A influenza H1N1 vaccine that's going to be available here. Probably they're going to start doing the vaccination by mid-October, using a vaccine that will be, they don't know whether it's going to work. They're not going to have time to determine whether it'll be effective. They will not have time to know whether it's safe. Certainly we know that most of the vaccine is going to contain mercury, and certainly it may well contain squalene. We believe it's going to contain squalene, which has not been licensed by the FDA because, of course, all the autoimmune disease it is caused, but under the emergency statutes that are being brought in because of the threat of this terrible disease, which might mutate, and if it did mutate, why, it could possibly kill as many as 300,000 or 400,000 Americans, and after all, who could be in favor of that? Don't we have to try to stop the unnecessary deaths of 300,000 to 400,000 Americans if the virus was to mutate? But then again, if the virus was to mutate, then could we be certain, or would we have any guarantee, that the vaccine that was made for the old virus before it mutated would work? And there are a lot of unknown things here, a lot of uncertainties, and this is why I've asked Dr. Russell Blaylock to be with us this evening, so we can begin talking about what is going on, and really what we should do when they tell us that they're going to have a massive vaccination program in our schools. They're going to be offering the vaccine probably, and certainly in the grocery stores and the major discount stores. It'll be easy to get your vaccine shot. They may even be willing to give it to you for absolutely nothing. The government's putting out $7 or $8 billion. They've already put out $1 billion to manufacture the vaccines, and they've put out another $7 or $8 billion to buy the vaccines. Millions and millions and millions of doses of the vaccine that has neither been proven to be safe or effective. And with that as a background, Russell, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Stan.
Why don't you tell us what's going on? Because really what's going on doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't. And, I subscribe to Nature Magazine and Science Magazine, two of the most prestigious journals that cover science issues. And they regularly carry articles updating about this whole issue, the vaccine and the pandemic itself. And so I follow it pretty close. Plus, I research these things. I looked up all the research that had been done on MF59, which is a squalene-containing adjuvant, and reviewed that carefully. And then I look back in the history to see, well, what sort of thing did we have in the past that resembled this? And, of course, everyone talks about the 1918 pandemic swine flu. The problem with comparisons of the 1918 flu was that that was at the end of World War One. There was just horrible destruction of Europe, mass malnutrition, starvation, public health virtually non-existent in many of these countries, tremendous stress, you know, all over the world. So you really can't compare that. And when you look at the really bad epidemics that occurred in the world, it's always follows a war or famine or widespread situation such as that. It's not during times of peace and in countries that have good public health.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead.
So the comparisons to 1918 are not appropriate, and I think we should just leave that out of the equation. And a lot of this talk about 400,000 people might die over 2 years is computer models based on the 1918 flu pandemic and other viral pandemics that have occurred, and it's really not very accurate. It's sort of like the computerized global warming that studies they did, and now they re-examined the computer models and found out it was all in error, and you know, it just really caused a big embarrassment in the field. Well, we're going through the same thing here. And, of course, when this whole epidemic started in April and spread from Mexico to the United States, the death rate was extremely low, and it's still very low, you know, almost for 4 or 5 months afterwards. All over the world, they had only 300-and-something deaths. Even today, the most accurate counts are about 300 deaths in the United States and fewer than 1,000 worldwide. Well, that's an incredibly low incidence of death associated with a pandemic. And people need to keep in mind that the CDC has claimed that 36,000 Americans die every year from the flu. Well, this flu has only killed 302 Americans. And, of course, you have to realize how they're taking these statistics. If you look on the CDC site and check it every day, what you'll see is they have the confirmed cases and probable cases. A probable case means they typed it for the seasonal type A, H1N1, and if it wasn't that, then they just assumed it was this swine flu species. So it's not very accurate, and so a lot of these deaths that are being reported from the flu are actually dying from pneumonia or other viruses, and so it's not a very accurate system. But even so, a death rate of 302 is extremely low, probably the lowest we've ever seen with any flu. Well, if you look in the Science magazine and Nature magazine at the studies that's been done, to see just how pathogenic this virus is, well, they used ferrets, which is an animal they always use because it's so close to human pathology and death rate, comparing ferrets to humans. When they used the 1918 virus on ferrets, it killed all of them.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Blaylock is just talking about the fact that this new swine flu is really not very pathological. I mean, so far, according to the CDC, 300 people have died in the United States so far this year with the epidemic. My goodness, the CDC claims that 36,000 Americans die every year from the regular influenza, and yet, of course, we've only lost 300 people so far. And is this really a major epidemic? And then do we know even that those people all died of the swine flu? Did they type every single one of them? Certainly, they're not doing a very good job on a lot of this. They estimate 1 million people have had the disease in America, but they haven't confirmed that at all. It's all guesstimates. It's all done with computers. And can we really trust the computer models? They've given us so much faulty information in the past. Well, Dr. Blaylock is simply talking about the injections of ferrets. What you do when you want to determine how lethal a disease is, you put in a ferret, because apparently they respond very much like Americans or like human beings do. So you pick up the story there.
Yeah, so they use this ferret model, and it's a standard model, and what they found with this virus is that it penetrates a little bit deeper into the lungs, but it's not any more destructive than the ordinary flu that comes through every year. And, of course, as we say, when you're looking at the human situation, this is one of the lowest death rates of any flu known so far. And when you look at worldwide, with this flu even spreading in countries that have large numbers of people living in poor sanitation, poor nutritional status, still the death rate's not very high. So it's an incredibly benign virus in terms of other flu viruses in the past, even ordinary flu viruses. Well, when you challenge them and say, well, why are we going through this draconian measures, threatening to force vaccinate every American, every child, every baby in the United States, UK, and Europe, and many other countries, what justifies that based on the fact that this is such a benign virus? Well, then they fall back on saying, well, yes, it is extremely benign, but it may mutate, and you hear that a lot on the national news, is that, well, there's a fear that it might suddenly mutate. Well, there's an interview in the latest edition of Nature magazine in which they interviewed Anthony Fauci, who's head of the U.S. National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and he's in charge of this whole program through the World Health Organization as well. And he makes this statement in his interview. They asked him, well, what if we have a vaccine and then the genetics of the vaccine change? And he said, well, if you look at the molecular and genetic makeup of the virus from the very first isolates in the early April compared to what we're seeing now in late July, it's virtually an identical virus all over the world. So despite the fact that this virus is gone through animals, gone through humans all over the world, it is identical to the virus in the very beginning. So there's been absolutely no mutation whatsoever since the very beginning. So the chance of in the next month this mutating suddenly out of the blue into this killer virus is pretty slim. And they know that, but they've already geared this up. The World Health Organization has put enormous pressure on the U.S. government, and of course these nefarious internationalists that are working with the United Nations had planned this all along, because suddenly they had the vaccine almost before the virus had even been known or released. Now, during this interview, it brings you up to date of what they're doing. Well, they've planned seven trials of the vaccine before they do the final inoculation. Five of them have been announced recently. And Novartis, which is the number one vaccine company that's going to produce the vaccine, has already started their trials in July. And in August, the other two companies that were approved to do this has started their trials. Now, they're taking something like 15,000 Americans of different age groups and inoculating them with these vaccines say that they're safe. Well, when you look back in the 1976 swine flu scare, when they were going to also forcibly vaccinate all the Americans and did vaccinate some 45 million Americans, as you look back in that, it was sort of the same situation. What they did is they tested a vaccine on people before they released the final vaccine, but it wasn't the same vaccine that they had tested. They used a different vaccine. And, of course, with the test that they did beforehand, it appeared to be a safe vaccine, but once they started giving this vaccine, people were dying. They, you know, they had three elderly people died in the same vaccine center on the same day. They had over 500 cases of ascending paralysis, and probably as many as 250 deaths, even though they officially reported only 25 deaths. And there's more than likely there were a lot more people paralyzed by the vaccine in 1976 than were officially reported, because many doctors don't report it, and it wasn't a reportable incidence at that time.
It's very interesting, you know, that there's a video that was made very shortly after that. It was a 60-minute program, and you can see it at the National Vaccine Center Information Center website, that 60-minute with Mike Wallace. And Mike Wallace repeatedly at that time used the phrase, 300 people died. Now, I suspect you're absolutely right. I think they've doctored the figures then. I mean, how would they admit to the public that they had killed 300 people with a vaccine for an unnecessary epidemic, an epidemic that never materialized? So I think they've doctored the figures down to 25. But you can see this DVD. It's one of the most important vehicles we have right now to show how they could create a hysteria on the part of the American people and get 45 million Americans to take a vaccine for a non-existent threat. And here you'll hear Mike Wallace saying 300 people died as a result of the vaccine. Today you look up in the records, oh, it was only 25. Would they doctor and the records and lie to the American people? And I think you're absolutely right, Russell. They're lying to the American people again.
Particularly when you see three elderly people die at a vaccine center within one day. You know the death rate's much higher than 25, with 40 million people being vaccinated. And it may be much larger than even the 300. It may be thousands. Because a lot of these people died, they attributed to something else, heart attack, stroke, or whatever. You know, there's probably a lot of different causes on the death certificates when, in fact, it was a reaction to the vaccine. Because a lot of these people were treated in little small cities, and the doctors weren't attuned to these type of reactions to vaccines, so they were written off as something else. I watched this interview with Mike Wallace, and everybody should watch it because it's very instructive. One of the things I learned from the interview that I never knew before was that this virus in 1976 started at Fort Dix, and five soldiers became sick with what they thought was the flu. One of them decided that he was going to go on a forced march even though he was sick. And if you know anything about the military, if you have a cold and you go on a forced march, it'll kill you. You know, forced marches are extremely stressful to the body, and if you have any infection, no matter how mild, it could kill you. Well, the soldier died. Well, it turned out that his sergeant gave him mouth-to-mouth respiration, never became sick. They sent the virus, supposedly, from this one soldier to the CDC and the other four soldiers. CDC came back. The other four soldiers had ordinary flu, but this one soldier, they thought, had swine flu, which is very suspicious. Why would one soldier out of five have a swine flu and no one else on the entire base? And either they mistyped the virus or somebody did this on purpose. But this started this panic, just like we have today. Suddenly there's a panic that everybody in America is at risk, and it's going to be 1918 all over again. And they even used figures back then that 20,000, 30,000 people died in 1918. Well, that wasn't true either, 78,000. Once you start to panic, once you fire the gun and the herd is heading for the cliff, it's hard to stop them. You know, as I told my wife, I said, they're all running, and the cow turns to the next one and say, well, why are you running? He said, well, because everybody else is. Well, that's where we are now. The CDC and the World Health Organization has fired the gun, and everybody's in a stampede, and they're not thinking. Particularly the elderly and mothers with small children. Well, they're even lying about the risk to their children. I got a document on flu facts and figures from the CDC, and it shows a graph of the age group and the mortality. Well, the lowest mortality of the age group is 0 to 4 years of age, yet they want to vaccinate every six-month-old baby and every child in America. 83% of the deaths that's been reported were in people over age 25. Only 18% were less than age 24. So, when you look at it, four times as many people were dying at age 65 or above as 4 years of old or less. So these really small children and babies are at far less risk than a 65-year-old, and even they're at a low risk.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Dr. Russell Blaylock. And, you know, that's exactly the opposite of what we're reading in the newspaper. They're saying, well, the older people really, don't seem to be getting the disease.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
There is, what they're doing is they're talking about the antibody levels. The trouble is that the antibody levels, which may be adequate to fight the disease, is not what protects you from the influenza virus. What protects you is the cellular response, which is not stimulated in this instance by the vaccine. So the vaccine really does almost no good in the very young and very little good in the older groups. And they know that, but of course they are dedicated to vaccinating everybody in the name of protecting our health. Now, the question is, though, what about the adjuvants that they add to the vaccines to make them more effective? And, of course, Dr. Blaylock was saying that Dr. Fauci mentioned that initially they were not going to put in the adjuvants in the first group. And then as time went by, after they'd done the pregnant women and the healthcare workers, then they were going to add the regular adjuvants, and then they were going to begin to add the squalene. Now, I think people need to understand that they're talking about starting with one vaccine and then beginning to change the vaccine to include those with squalene in them. So you pick the story up there, Russell.
Well, and it's important to remember that's exactly what they did in 1976 that caused the disaster, is they tested a vaccine that was not identical to the one that they actually used. And so the test essentially was worthless. And then when they changed the vaccine, it produced devastating neurological disorders, paralysis and death, plus seizures and a lot of other things that aren't usually mentioned. And so this is what we're doing today. We're going to give a test dose of the vaccine without any adjuvant in it so we can declare that it's completely safe and we've seen no complications. And then when the actual forced vaccination begins, then we'll use this dangerous MF59 squalene adjuvant and the ASO3, which also contains squalene. Now, it's interesting that, well, where did this squalene adjuvant come from? Well, it was invented by a company called Chiron. They made the MF59 squalene adjuvant. Well, this company is just inundated with scandal. And it was closed down at one time because the vaccine was found to be so heavily contaminated. And then they ended up shutting it down, and they allowed it to reopen without any inspection to see if they had cleaned up the facilities.
Well, now, were they the ones who were making the anthrax vaccine?
Yeah, well, they made probably the MF59 that was put in the anthrax vaccine.
All right, go ahead.
Bioport made the anthrax vaccine. And then Novartis vaccine company bought Chiron. And so they're using the MF59 squalene adjuvant in their vaccine, which is used in Europe and the UK for the flu. They use the MF59 adjuvant. Well, I looked up this MF59 and I found a number of articles. And if you look at the more recent articles which are preparing for this flu vaccine, they say that, oh, we've vaccinated millions of people. We have found no complications, none. Then another article said it's extremely safe adjuvant. We found no problems with it. And then I looked up other articles that are independent, and all of them found that squalene produces an extremely high incidence of autoimmune diseases, and in virtually every time they inject the squalene in test animals, they develop lupus-like antibodies. You know, lupus is a terrible disease that kills a lot of women every year, destroys their life. It's a horrible disease. And it produces multiple sclerosis-like syndrome in animals. Strips the lining off of their nerves and their spinal cord and brain. Results in seizures and joint destruction. Terrible arthritis that resembles rheumatoid arthritis exactly. In fact, it works so well they use it to make experimental animals that resemble human rheumatoid arthritis and multiple sclerosis. Now, the difference in those two articles is all the articles that said that it's safe were written by Novartis Vaccine Company and the Defense Department. The articles that show extreme danger were all written by immunologists and rheumatologists who are independent of any vaccine company. So it's the same old story. Now, it's interesting in this interview with Anthony Fauci, they asked him, well, is Novartis involved in any of these trials that's going to be watched by the government? And his answer was, no, Novartis has a quite sophisticated clinical trial apparatus.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. This is Dr. Stan back here. Russell, pick right up. You were just telling us, of course, all the complications that occur with these squalene, at least in the independent studies, talking about the lupus and lupus-like diseases, the rheumatoid arthritis-like diseases, the multiple sclerosis type of diseases, and then, of course, the clinical trials that are being done or going to be done. And you were quoting Dr. Anthony Fauci, saying that Novartis, which, of course, is one of the major vaccine manufacturers, has its own clinical trials? Pick up the story there.
Yeah, they were asked about these clinical trials that are being done. They said, well, you know, the government's watching the other pharmaceutical company trials very closely. And they said, well, what about Novartis? And they said, well, it's a very sophisticated company, and they have their own sophisticated trial apparatus, and so we're just letting them do it on their own. In other words, not even double-checking it. And they said the United States will purchase 45% of the vaccine from Novartis, 26% from Sanofi Pasteur, and a little bit less than 19% from CSL Biotherapies. So here Novartis is going to be the major manufacturer of the vaccines used on Americans, and no one's overseeing these vaccine tests that they're doing with their vaccines. Now, any article that says we found no complications in vaccinating millions of people with a vaccine is lying. No vaccine ever known is that safe. It's just an absolute lie. Certainly, even with the aluminum adjuvants in vaccine, we see seizures, we see joint pains, we see Guillain-Barré paralysis occurs every year with the flu vaccine. It leaves dozens of people, if not more, paralyzed every year. So we know that they're lying in these sophisticated trials they're doing that are claimed by Dr. Fauci. They're just letting these companies run rampant. They're conducting their own internal trials and keeping the results secret. Now, if you know anything about how they do these trials, for instance, if you read some of the papers that are written...
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with all of our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Dr. Blaylock's talking about the clinical trials that are being done, and he said, you know, you have to read these clinical trials. They'll tell you, oh, there's no problem at all with our vaccines. Vaccines are perfectly safe. There's no reaction at all. But when you read the clinical trials, and pick the story up there, please.
Well, as you read these clinical trials, what they'll do is they'll say, well, in 14 patients we had grand mal seizures. In some, we had weakness and numbness in the arms and legs, et cetera. Or we had joint pain. And then at the end of the article, but the reviewers did not consider any of these related to the vaccine. Well, that's absolutely nonsense. These are known reactions to vaccines. They're recorded every year. Tens of thousands are recorded with the government every year to all kinds of vaccines. So we know that this is being doctored. They're lying. They're trying to assure the public that this is safe. Now, one of the things they asked him, they said, well, you test the adjuvant vaccines in children. And his response was, the Europeans have a lot of data on the use of adjuvanted flu vaccines in the elderly, but I don't think anybody has really good data on the use of adjuvants in children.
Now, I think for our listeners, they have to understand adjuvants are something you add to the vaccine that makes them work more effectively. It helps to mobilize the immune system so the vaccine will be more effective. They call it an adjuvant, but go right ahead.
Right, and these things, what they do, these adjuvants, is they make the immune system react very intensely and for a very prolonged period of time, which is totally unnatural for the body. That's not how the body reacts to infectious organisms. So it's a very unnatural reaction that could be quite harmful. Well, they're admitting we don't have any data on the use of adjuvants in children. So that's an area in which we're just going to use 14 or 20 million babies and small children as guinea pigs and see what happens. Well, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to see a lot of seizures. You're going to be seeing a lot of babies dying in their cribs. You're going to be seeing children with severe neurological problems as they get older. They're even, recommending the use of these vaccines in pregnant women. And there's a considerable amount of research that shows that if you powerfully activate the immune system during pregnancy, particularly after the second trimester, you produce a very high incidence of autism and schizophrenia in the offspring. Here we're concerned, what is going to happen to these women? Are their babies, when they get older, going to have autism? And when they reach their teenage years, are a large number of them going to have schizophrenia? Is our society going to be filled with schizophrenic children that were the product of this massive vaccine program? Well, they have no answers. They don't even recognize it. And no one seems to be asking these critical questions to these people that's carrying out this process. Now, one of the questions that came up was, well, why are we even adding these dangerous, highly powerful adjuvants to the vaccines? Won't we just use the virus alone? Well, the answer that they give is that, well, in order to make that many vaccines, and you're talking about making 4.6 billion vaccines worldwide, they said the reason is we can't produce enough virus that quickly, and therefore we want to use less virus in the vaccine and add powerful adjuvants to make the body react. And that way we can make the vaccines very quickly. Well, all of this has been fast-tracked. What that means is they don't do adequate testing. They don't even know if it would give any protection whatsoever. But the most important thing is they have not looked at the very high risk of producing these serious complications. Now, I can guarantee you when you start seeing 10 or 15 years from now, a tremendous rise in the number of cases of schizophrenia, and someone points the finger at the vaccines that had been given 15 years previously, it'll be just like the autism case. They'll deny it that it has anything to do with vaccines. And the average person, not knowing about this science, will say, well, how could a vaccine 15 years previously have caused this? Well, we do it regularly in experimental laboratories. You can do that. And we know it's not due to the virus itself. It's due to the immune reaction in the mother during the pregnancy. So there's a couple of things that we need to know about. Now, also, one of the things that really, really concerns me about all vaccines, and that is the biggest secret in the vaccine industry and in the public health departments, and that is vaccine contamination. Most vaccines are heavily contaminated. They're contaminated with other viruses, DNA fragments, RNA fragments, protein fragments from viruses and bacteria. There are numerous types of viruses that haven't even been identified, that are never looked for in these vaccines. And this has been admitted at some of the large meetings of the National Institutes of Health that they've held on vaccine safety. All kept secrets, you know, these are closed meetings. And what they discuss among themselves is the fact that, for instance, they found the chickenpox vaccine, virtually all of them are heavily contaminated. And most states are requiring chickenpox vaccines for children. Some of the discussions in these meetings was, well, you know, there could be oncogenic or cancer-causing viruses that are incorporated in these vaccines. And they all admitted, yes, it's a good probability. And what a lot of the public doesn't know is that they grow these viruses in live cells. That's how they make the vaccines. The cells they use are either the green monkey, they're still using it, which is heavily contaminated with all kinds of viruses, including the simian immunodeficiency virus, which is like HIV, and the human HIV virus, plus literally hundreds of other viruses are in these cells. Well, when you grow the influenza virus in these cells, you can't separate these other viruses from the influenza. They're in the vaccine that you make, and what they found in some of these studies was that actually the contaminating virus was in a higher concentration than the virus they wanted to use for the vaccine. This was true for some of the polio vaccines. So the contamination issue is something that's of great worry. They use what's called a vero cell, which is from the green monkey, but they also use a cell that is cancerous. You know, one of the things that the vaccine companies had applied to the FDA for was permission to use cancer cells to grow viruses in, because cancer cells are immortal, so you can grow a lot of viruses in them. Well, the concern was many of these cells are cancerous because they contain cancer genes, oncogenes, and that these cancer genes can be inserted in the virus, the flu virus that you're growing, and what is that going to do when you inject it in people? We had the disaster from the polio virus being contaminated with the SD40 virus. This virus, when they first discovered that the polio virus was heavily contaminated, they tried to assure the public by saying, well, it's not a carcinogenic virus as well as we know. We're not sure. Well, at the NIH, I think it was Dr. Eddy, examined it and proved it was a carcinogenic virus. That is, it produces cancer in animals. And since these animals were close enough genetically to humans, there was no reason to believe that it wouldn't produce cancer in humans as well. Well, they had infected over 100 million people with this SD40. Well, they tried to cover it up the way they always cover up everything, and that's by doing these large epidemiologic studies. And their claim was, after 30 or 40 years, well, we haven't seen a significant increase in cancer, so we don't think it's caused any problem. Well, there's a virologist, a molecular virologist by the name of Dr. Michelle Carboni, who carefully typed this virus out of tumors and found out it was identical to the one used in the 1950-1960 polio virus vaccine. You know, the type was exact, so they couldn't say, well, it came naturally from somewhere else. It was found in the vials of the vaccine itself from 1950. And when he looked at these different tumors, like medulloblastoma, which is a horrible cancer of children, kills a lot of children every year. They found a high incidence SV40 in these tumors, and that the SV40 was actually producing the cancer. They found it in several other types of brain tumors, ependymomas, some astrocytomas. They found it in lung tumors. They found it in sarcomas. So it's a widespread virus. Now, what really frightened them was, supposedly all of the SV40 had been taken out of the vaccine by the early 1970s. But they were still seeing small children born at a small age, young age, had SV40 in their tumors. So that either meant that the vaccine was still contaminated with SV40 after the 1970s, or something else was going on. Well, they carefully typed the vaccine itself and did not find any SV40 in it. Well, what that leaves is that this virus is being transmitted vertically. What that means is that the virus goes from the mother to the baby, and then when that baby grows up, gets married, it has a baby, and the virus is spread that way. So it goes through the generations. So you can produce a nightmare that affects not only the present generation, but every generation from then on. And they have infected hundreds of millions of people with this SV40 virus.
And let me just mention, there are two books that cover this very well. One is called The Virus and the Vaccine, The other is a book that's put out under the auspices of the NIH called The Health Century by Edward Schroeder. Gives you the whole background of how they found out that there was a cancer-producing virus in the vaccine. They intentionally lied to the American people and deceived that, and they punished Dr. Eddy for daring to find out that there was this cancer virus there. It's the most amazing story. The book is The Health Century by Dr. Edward Schroeder. It's out of print, but you can get it down off Amazon. It tells you the whole sordid story and how they decided to lie to the American people, because if the people ever learned the truth, they wouldn't trust the public health officials, and they wouldn't take the vaccines, which are so good for them.
What is even more shocking, which shows how this can just get out of hand, was Dr. Sabin, after he was told that this contained SV40, and Dr. Eddy had proven it was carcinogenic, he said, let's keep giving it. And so they continued to give hundreds of thousands of doses of this contaminated vaccine after they knew the SV40 was in it and after they knew that it caused cancer in animals. So it shows that you can't trust public officials. Now, I knew Dr. Sabin because he was at the same university I was at when I was doing my residency. And he was a very pompous person, very demanding, and he didn't like anyone standing in his way when he had a plan in mind. So the whole plan of this vaccinating everybody with polio vaccine had been decided by him, and he had a lot of political connections. That's how his vaccine became to be used rather than the
salt
vaccine,
right.
Because of his political connections. Well, it turned into politics rather than science because people were warning. This is probably not a good idea to be giving this live polio vaccine. And then they found out, well, all the cases of polio after I think 1965 were caused by the vaccine itself and not naturally occurring polio. And it still goes on today because when they had the vaccine programs forced on Uganda and Nigeria, every case that was produced was a vaccine-induced polio. In fact, they even give it the name paralytic polio. And the mothers were catching the polio from their children and becoming paralyzed and dying. Women were hiding in the bush to keep from being vaccinated, and they were being arrested and their children taken away from them and forcibly vaccinated by the government at the insistence of the World Health Organization and the United States government. So government policy is not good science. They can't be trusted. It's extremely frightening, the possibilities here. And, you know, I've heard people voice, well, is this vaccine, or ask me, is this vaccine possibly being used for population control? In other words, to reduce the population of the world. Well, I can't say for sure that it is, but certainly I couldn't think of a better way to initiate such a program worldwide than to terrify the world into being forced to take a vaccine that'll affect sterility. And if you massively reduce the population by the vaccine itself, plus you left the young people in a state where immunologically their reproductive systems were altered, we may see a dramatic reduction in birth rates.
Well, now, isn't that related then more to the thimerosal that they have left in the vaccine? They took it out of the childhood vaccines given here in the United States for our children, but they left the thimerosal, the mercury, and the vaccines were going to be used in third world countries. And doesn't thimerosal affect fertility?
Absolutely. In low doses, it increases fertility. In higher accumulated doses, it decreases fertility.
You can't help but wonder if that's why the people who are pushing population control are so intent upon the vaccination programs in third world countries. I mean, they're financing hundreds of millions of dollars for vaccination programs, and they believe in population control. Why are they trying to save the lives of these children if they believe in population control, or maybe there's another agenda? Well, Russell, you go right ahead. We've got 3 minutes, and then we'll certainly bring you back, and then I want you to get your website out. But right now, we've got 3 minutes here, so continue the study, the discussion.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866.
They can get on my website at www.russellblaylockmd.com. That's RussellBlaylockMD.com. And on there it has free information. It's got access to the newsletter, and most of the newer papers I've published on this problem are there. You can download them and read these articles. Most of them are quite scientific articles, so it might be a little hard for most people. But it shows that through the references that this has been well studied, and we know these reactions occur when you do these vaccinations the way they're planning them.
All right, well, hang on there. We'll talk more about this in the next hour. Our guest this evening has been Dr. Russell Blaylock. Now, let me mention, we carry a DVD with Dr. Blaylock talk he gave 2 years ago. I guess it was last year at our conference here in the Monterey Bay area. The title of the DVD is Vaccines and Brain Development. Vaccines and Brain Development. We actually have another DVD that Dr. Blaylock has done is called Nutrition and Behavior. We actually have a 4-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets, and then, of course, we carry Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. It's a book which everybody should get and everybody should read. We carry Dr. Blaylock's other books entitled The Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. So he's written 3 books that we do carry, Health and Nutrition Secrets, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, and Excitotoxins. We have a 4-tape set of some of my interviews with Dr. Blaylock, and, of course, that entitled Life-Saving Secrets. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And what you out there in the listening audience must understand is vaccines are not safe. I mean, certainly the scientific studies on these have repeatedly showed that they have all sorts of complications. We carry the Simpson-Wood report. It's a report that came out, government's top secret government study on the relationship between thimerosal and autism. And the doctors there, the people who attended the conference, the CDC conference, which was secret, acknowledged the relationship between autism and thimerosal, and said we can't let the American people learn the truth. We can't let the American people learn the truth, or it would certainly discourage people from taking the vaccines. Today, the incidence of autism is probably somewhere between 1 in 60 and 1 in 100 children. 1 in 60 to 1 in 100 children are autistic. Their lives are destroyed. Their families are destroyed. And you're being lied to by the media. The scientific studies are there. We carry Neil Miller's books, Are Vaccines Safe and Effective? We carry Neil Miller's a very large book, which has the foreword written by Dr. Blaylock, entitled The Vaccine Safety Manual. That's the Vaccine Safety Manual with a foreword by Dr. Blaylock. You need to learn about vaccines, and then you need to understand that we've been lied to repeatedly by the physicians. Not the physicians understand, would do any harm. They just don't know. They believe what they're told by the Centers for Disease Control, which does what, of course, the vaccine manufacturers tell them to do. And the vaccine manufacturers have so much confidence in their product that they've got laws passed that they can't be sued for any damage they do, even if it was, they cannot be sued for any damage they do. So our number again, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, and we'll be back in just a moment here to for the next hour with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they'll be the views of Dr. Russell Blaylock. And if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question on this specific subject, why, give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, now, Russell, my understanding is at least that some of the vaccine is going to be grown in the yolks of chicken eggs. Would there be viruses, chicken viruses, in those yolks as well?
Yeah, one of the companies is going to grow it in the chicken yolk, and that has the avian leucosis virus. And that is a regular contaminant of these vaccines. This is, you know, one of the problems is when you start growing these things in live tissue, it's all contaminated. And as some of the researchers said, there's probably dozens, if not hundreds, of organisms that we don't even know about, having been identified yet, that's in these organisms, in addition to viral fragments. And I read an article some years ago in Science magazine, in which the discussion was, well, what is the danger of DNA fragments being in vaccines? Because they had agreed that most vaccines contain DNA fragments and RNA-type fragments from other viruses. And the conclusion was, well, we don't really know, but we don't think it'll cause any problem. Well, that's not much assurance to say, well, we don't know, we don't have any studies, and we hope it won't cause any problem. Well, now there's been research that has shown that DNA fragments and protein fragments from viruses can incorporate themselves in the microglia in the brain and trigger dementia. This is what causes HIV dementia, you know, the AIDS dementia, which occurs in about a third or more of AIDS victims. They become severely demented before they die. And the mystery was always, well, why are they getting demented since the virus does not grow in the brain cell? Well, they found out that a fragment of the virus called GB120 ends up in the microglia, and this triggers the microglia to overreact, producing this this problem, and can result in dementia. Well, you know, we have probably a million people or more in the United States who have chronic Lyme disease, or they have chronic mycoplasma infections. And what our research shows is if you have that organism in these microglia and you vaccinate, it produces such an intense reaction in the brain that it begins to strip off the synaptic connections and the dendrites and kills the cells, and they end up demented. So there's a real worry is what's going to happen when you mass vaccinate people who already have organisms in their microglia in their brain that are silent at the time. This research clearly shows what's going to happen is you're going to destroy those people. And it may be a slow destruction that takes years before it's completely expressed and they're severely demented. Well, since they know most people are not aware of this research, they'll never make the connection between this dramatic increase in dementia and the vaccine program.
And, of course, they're going to try this vaccine for a few weeks and then declare it's perfectly safe and start giving it to hundreds of millions of people in America and throughout the world. Well, Russell, you know, what really bothers me is the fact that, I mean, they're going to tell us this is perfectly safe. You're suggesting they may well do a bait and switch as they did with the 1976 swine flu vaccine. In other words, they tested one and then they gave another. Or they have a number of different types of vaccines they're talking about giving. And some of them will have no adjuvants and some of them have the thimerosal and some of them will have the thimerosal and the squalene and heaven only knows what else they're going to give. It sounds to me like a gigantic experiment they're going to use on the not only the American people, but people all throughout the world. Why are they doing this for a very mild form of influenza, which is certainly probably no more lethal or probably far less lethal than the type that we ordinarily get every year?
Yeah, this would have to go on record as being one of the lowest lethality-related viruses of any flu season. I mean, this is a rock-bottom low figure, which is surprising if you worked in the normal world. Why would you have this absolutely enormous machinery put in place for something that's so mild on the chance that it might mutate when Anthony Fauci from the government agency says, well, there's no evidence it's mutated at all anywhere in the world. It's the exact same virus that started out. So we have evidence that this virus is not prone to mutate. You would expect it to mutate somewhere in the world, but it hasn't mutated at all. He describes it as being identical. One of the other things that in this interview they asked him, he said, you also plan to test co-administration of the pandemic 2009 vaccine and the seasonal H1N1 vaccine. How will the immune system react to these being given together? Now, listen to his answer. He says, we don't know.
We don't know, but we're going to give it to hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people?
That's right. He admits, we don't know what it'll do. And he even goes through the possibility that mixing it with these other viruses, it may exchange its genetics and produce whole new viruses from the vaccine itself, which could trigger a disaster. So his very first words are, we don't know. Well, it was the same response he gave when they asked him, well, what about using adjuvanted vaccines in children? He says, well, we don't have any data. We don't know what it'll do. So we're going to launch this massive experiment on the American people. The children are the first victims.
And, of course, Dr. Blalock is simply pointing out that Dr. Fauci, who's in charge of the Division of Allergy and Diseases for the NIH, when asked, you know, well, what about using these adjuvants, the squalene, these other things, in the vaccines you're going to give to children, his response was, We don't know. When asked, I said, what's going to happen when you give this new influenza vaccine, the swine flu vaccine, with the other vaccine that you give for the ordinary influenza? He said, we don't know. So they don't know what's going to happen when you use the new swine flu vaccine along with the traditional vaccine. They don't know. But they're going to give it to hundreds of millions of Americans and billions of people throughout the world. But they don't know what's going to happen. Well, we may very well find out what happens. But what happens if it ends up like it did in 1976, where people started dying and developed all sorts of neurological diseases? And could this be far worse than happened then? Why are they in such a rush to do something to force this? And certainly they're doing everything they can to create hysteria on the part of the people. Oh, you've got to get a vaccine because, after all, if the virus were to mutate, hundreds of thousands of Americans could die. If it were to mutate, hundreds of thousands of Americans might die. Notice the wording. They don't say it's going to happen. It could, it might, it's possible. And, of course, the real thing is they are creating hysteria. And if you have not yet seen that video, it's up on the Internet. You'll find it at the National Vaccine Information Center website. That's nvic.org. Or to simply type in Barbara Lowe Fisher, Barbara L-O-E Fisher, and they'll take you to their website. Scroll down until you see the DVD from 1976. And, of course, it gives you the story of how they panicked the American people into taking the swine flu vaccine for a non-existent problem. And hundreds of people died. And, of course, they're lying about that. And, of course, hundreds of people got the ascending paralysis. They call it Guillain-Barré, and they tried to get compensation. There was no compensation. Nobody from the government was ever, fired for lying to the American people. And it's very obvious if you watch this DVD with Mike Wallace, 60 Minutes, that they were lying to the American people. I think that every American should see that DVD before they consider taking the immunization, and I personally am not going to take the immunization. I simply do not trust the people from the government. I've talked to them. I've been to the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia. I talked to the people there about the AIDS epidemic. This was back in 1988, I think, was when I went there. And I came away with the conclusion they had no intention at all of trying to stop this horrible plague. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or if you're out there across America, here in the Central Coast of California, the number is 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Well, certainly, Russell, do you think that they're going to try to mandate this for the American people?
Yeah, I really do, but it may be like this national health insurance legislation. There's just going to be such a reaction against it by the public, they may have to back off. And there's also the problem they don't have enough doses of the vaccine. So they're already saying we'll probably miss the first wave of the virus, of the infection, for September or October. So it may be what they're going to do is target what they call the first tier, and that is the pregnant women, the children at school. And if you look at their plans, they send plans to each state, and I got this from the CDC, and they have outlines of the buildings, how the whole thing's to be set up, the documentation, the forced vaccination, and how they'll have, police force and special troops to control any disruption by crowds, which they say would be due to people fighting to want to get the vaccine. Of course, it'll be people fighting not wanting the vaccine. That's included in there, how to control the crowds and that special troops will be used. And they'll vaccinate these people first, their children, and they'll do it at school. Before they get home, they'll just herd them into the auditorium. They say that's where set up the mass vaccination for the children. It's in the auditoriums of schools, or your child comes home, well, they've been vaccinated.
Well, how about Christian parents say, I do not want my child vaccinated under any circumstances, and I'll sue you if you vaccinate him?
Well, you can't sue them because they have already a law passed that they cannot be sued. But, you know, we don't know any of this yet. It may be you can say, well, you could tell the school administrator that I don't want my child vaccinated, and if this begins, I want you to notify me, and I'll pick my child up and bring him home. If they really get insistent about this, of course, what they'll do is parents who refuse to vaccinate their children, they'll have social services take the child away and forcibly vaccinate them. They'll just declare them unfit parents. The initial plan was to put people in quarantine centers, have everybody shipped to special quarantine centers that's already been set up, and of course surrounded with armed guards to keep them there. But they may be trying to back off that and allow a home quarantine. I know in Britain there's a real outburst among the public demanding home quarantine rather than putting them in quarantine centers, which are just, you know, concentration camps as far as I'm concerned. And once they have you in one of these camps, of course, they can do whatever they want. They can just come through and forcibly vaccinate you.
Well, what about this nasal vaccine they're talking about? This, you know, they want to use a nasal vaccine because they say that's a more normal type means of getting this. And, of course, they're going to buy, you know, at least 100 to 150 million doses of the nasal vaccine. And I think my understanding is an attenuated virus, but couldn't that virus become more lethal and then be, since it's in the nose and in the oropharynx, then couldn't that be actually shed and spread the disease?
Well, it can, and of course this has caused some deaths. I think in Japan they banned it, the Tamiflu, because of death in children. But now they're claiming that, well, this nasal vaccine doesn't work anyway with this flu, so they've abandoned that plan because they want to inoculate people. But you're exactly right. When you use an attenuated virus, and what that means is you keep passing the virus through different cultures and to weaken it, and then supposedly it's not supposed to cause illness, and then you spray it in the nose and it gives you the same immunity as a fully pathogenic virus. Well, what's rarely talked about outside of virology circles is that viruses can reverse attenuate. That means that you spray it in your nose, it goes into your nasal cavity, up into your brain, because it follows the olfactory nerves into your brain, and then it can change back to a fully pathogenic virus and even change, mutate, into a different virus that produces different diseases. We know this happens with measles virus. When they looked at elderly people that died from other causes, and they did studies on their various tissues, they found that 45% of the tissues had live measles virus in it, and 20% of the brain tissue, people's brain tissue, had live measles virus in it, and that the virus had was highly mutated because it had been there for a lifetime. Well, the same thing can happen with this live virus you spray up in your nose, is that it'll end up in your brain, and the part of your brain that has to do with memory, the very one affected by Alzheimer's. And if it reverse attenuates, then you've got a big problem.
Well, now, I thought that, Chris, if you got the disease normally, why your immune system was primed against that one virus, say the measles virus, and you killed the virus and it couldn't live in you. Is there a difference between what happens when you get the attenuated virus of a vaccine and what you get a normal infection, and what's the difference in the mechanism of defense against the two?
Well, the main thing that most of the public's not aware of is that, as you said, most viruses go through your mucous membrane. They go through the mucous membranes in the nose and the throat or the GI tract. That's how most of them enter the body. Well, that area of your body has almost 80% of your immune system located there for that very reason. so that when the virus tries to get through your GI tract into the bloodstream, it encounters that immune system and it kills the virus and makes you permanently immune to that disease. You know, if you had measles naturally, you have lifelong immunity. If you get a vaccine, it won't last 4 years. You have to be revaccinated over and over and over for that very reason, because you're not letting it go through the GI tract. You're injecting it into muscle in your arm or your hip. That's a completely abnormal way for these viruses to enter the body, and there's no barrier there. So you produce this intense immune reaction that can produce damage to the brain and to other organs.
Well, now, is this a cellular immunity, or is it an antibiotic immunity? Because that's really an entirely different process, isn't it?
Well, they interact. You know,
right.
Once you inject these powerful adjuvants, they activate cells that turn on other cells that produce antibodies. And most of your reaction to the vaccine's antibodies are being poured out into your bloodstream. Your cellular immunity that develops doesn't last very long. It disappears very quickly. And some of the vaccines, like hepatitis B, it suppresses your cellular immunity.
All right, hold that. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock right here at Radio Liberty. So basically then, of course, you do not get a good cellular response when, of course, you take an IM vaccine. Is that correct?
That's right. But you
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Polio virus became much more aggressive, much more virulent, and of course there were many reasons for this, because the pertussis vaccine seems to have played a part in creating an acute inflammatory response that made the body much more susceptible to the polio vaccine. And this was noted back many, many years ago. People began looking into this, the scientists, and pick up the story there, Russell.
Yeah, they found that there was a close association between the use of the pertussis vaccine and polio. In countries that didn't use the pertussis vaccine, there were very few, if any, polio cases in evidence. So the greater the number of pertussis vaccines, the higher percentage of children vaccinated, the higher the incidence of polio. So that gave them a connection. Well, there's a researcher by the name of Beck who's looked at this connection between viruses in your body and the free radicals causing them to mutate. And she's done some very elaborate research which demonstrated this with a couple of viruses, showing that you could take a virus that normally does not produce any disease, and if you make an animal selenium deficient, which makes them produce a lot of free radicals, the virus will change. It'll mutate and become highly pathogenic and kill the animal in high numbers. And then even if you have normal animals, that virus will kill the normal animals as well. And that's because you caused it to mutate. And so by giving these inordinate number of vaccines that have prolonged immune reactions, you're producing a lot of free radicals for a prolonged period of time, and any virus that happens to invade the body has a high risk of mutating into one of these more pathogenic species. So that's been well demonstrated. Things like the Hib vaccine is immune suppressive. And what they don't tell a lot of mothers is, and yet it's in the PDR and it's on the CDC site, is after they get the vaccine, you should keep them away from other children, and particularly daycare centers, because for about 2 to 3 weeks they have a very high risk of developing influenza meningitis, the very disease they're vaccinated against. Their risk goes up considerably because they were vaccinated. But they don't tell people these things because they're afraid if the public really knew the danger of these vaccines, hardly anybody would be getting their kids vaccinated. And the public sure wouldn't be getting this flu vaccine every year if they knew the truth, if they knew what was known in these secret conferences.
Well, of course, you know, there is a risk-benefit ratio. And is the risk worth the benefit? And, of course, in most vaccines, the answer is absolutely not. Because, of course, as long as they put the thimerosal, as long as they put the adjuvants in there, why, of course, your chance of getting into real problems is far greater than ordinarily getting the disease. There might be places, if you're going to go, say, you know, into an area where there was yellow fever was endemic, you might want to think about, you know, there might be a possibility that you could justify taking vaccines or certain things. But with so many of these diseases, we used to have the childhood diseases, we used to have, you know, measles parties. Some kid in the neighborhood would have measles, and you know, people would take their children over there, especially German measles, so they'd get the disease once, and then they'd be, would never get it again. And these were mild diseases. They did not harm anybody. And yet now we vaccinate them, and of course, but look at all the children autistic. We do not see the autism in the Amish children. We do not see the high dose of allergy. One in every nine American children has asthma. You don't see this in the Amish children. Why is that, Russell?
Well, in the last 20 years, there's been a 300% increase in autoimmune diseases. Particularly in asthma and type 1 diabetes, lupus. All of these diseases are increasing dramatically. Things that used to be so rare, as a resident even, you wouldn't see many cases. Now they're common. And that's because about the same time we saw this explosion of autoimmune diseases, we also saw a dramatic increase in vaccinations. These children are getting 36 vaccines before they start school.
And I think that we need to stress the fact that the Amish children do not get the autism, or rarely have ever get it. They do not get the asthma. The children are vaccinated, and I think that every parent should be told that before they vaccinate their children. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Of course, our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're talking about the very real danger of vaccinations and all the complications that occur. And, of course, the average doctor is never allowed to hear these things. All he hears is that mantra, vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines are safe and effective, and we don't see the epidemics of measles and some of the mumps and chickenpox that we used to. But these were not deadly diseases, on large part, very rare. You'd have a child who would die. I think there were probably 40 or 50 children died the year that we started the measles vaccine. But when you stop and realize the incidence of autism, the fact that one in six children has a neurodevelopmental or learning disability, that one in nine children has asthma, that certainly between 50 or 60 and one in 90 children has autism and their lives are destroyed. Is it really a good trade-off? And I don't think it is. What do you think, Russell?
A lot of this is just obvious. I mean, if what they're saying is true, that if we stop the measles vaccine program, for instance, then the deadly measles will come back and kill millions of Americans. Well, the Amish have not been wiped out by measles epidemic. They haven't been wiped out by mumps epidemic or chicken pox. So, you know, here you have communities consisting of thousands of people, small children. They're not wiped out by these diseases. They're some of the healthiest people in our society. So that tells you it's a lot of nonsense. For instance, when I testified before the state house on vaccine exclusion for the state of Mississippi, and the pediatricians that were testifying said, well, we're afraid that if anything interferes with the vaccine program, we'll have a resurgence of the epidemics we used to have a long time ago. And so someone asked, well, the state of Louisiana, which is right next door, and Alabama and Florida and Tennessee, which surrounds Mississippi, all of them have the exclusion, and they're incidence.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. And Dr. Russell Blaylock was actually asked to testify before the legislature there in the state of Mississippi where he lives. And, of course, the pediatricians were saying, oh, my goodness, we can't have an exclusion so that the people have a right to determine whether they have, want to take the vaccination. Why, we could have a resurgence of these terrible epidemics and everybody would die. And so what happened when you went to testify? Was that where, of course, they would only give you 5 minutes after they'd spent hours listening to all the other doctors?
Right. I sat there for about 3 hours where everybody else testified, and they gave me the last 5 minutes and arrogantly told me, if you can't do it in 5 minutes, then we don't want to hear from you. And so I said, well, I can do it in three, and so I gave it. But their point was that, one of the senators, congressman, asked, said, well, state of Mississippi is surrounded by states that have exclusion for philosophical and religious reasons. What is their problem? Do they have a problem with this? And, of course, they don't. Their incidence of childhood infectious disease is no different than ours. And if that herd immunity nonsense was true, the state of Mississippi would just disappear from the map. Well, it's lower in their state than it is anywhere in the United States. So the whole United States has exclusions except for the state of Mississippi. It's almost impossible to even get medical exclusions. But they have these legislation and other people convinced that if they have the exclusion that everybody else has, we're just going to be overcome with childhood infections, which is sheer nonsense. Well, the House agreed with me, and they voted for the exclusion, and then it had to move to the Senate. Well, it turned out that the chairman of the Senate committee, he refused to hear the bill accepted, and he just killed it. I looked him up on the Internet to see who his contributors were. He was getting contributions from 4 vaccine manufacturers. So I put that on the radio. And told everybody in the state of Mississippi, because it's a very popular radio station, that he receives funds from 4 vaccine manufacturers and that he purposely killed the bill to protect his contributors. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to expose these people, that they have a different agenda. They're not looking out for the best interests of the people of our state or our nation.
And I really hate to say this, but I think that the major objective and goal of the vaccine manufacturers is not to help the people, because if it were, they would not have lobbied to make sure that they could not be sued for any damage that they did. The major purpose of the vaccine manufacturers is to make a profit, and they will simply buy off people. That's certainly the story of the Simpson Wood investigation, where they had a CDC official who had already gone over the statistics there at the CDC and had found a definite causal relationship between the thimerosal, the mercury in the vaccines, and the incidence of autism. And what happened after the Simpson Wood meeting? Why, he was employed by GlaxoSmithKline and French, and he just turned his whole concept around. And people said, oh, well, you don't think he'd just be influenced just because he was getting a large salary from GlaxoSmithKline and French? And certainly he would be. I mean, is there anybody out there in the listening audience who honestly believes that if you were getting a significant salary from a major vaccine manufacturer that you would tell the truth? Even it would save the lives of hundreds of millions of people throughout the world. So, unfortunately, why money talks? Vaccine manufacturers buy up politicians, they buy up scientists, and of course, if you look at the studies on vaccine safety, if they're put out by the vaccine manufacturers, why, they never find a problem. If they're put out by independent investigators, they almost always find problems. Isn't that pretty much the way it is, Russell?
Well, that's absolutely true. There's a document you can get off the Internet, and it's called Conflicts of Interest in Vaccine Policymaking, Majority Staff Report Committee on Government Reform, U.S. House of Representatives, June 15, 2000. In that, they show that people who were serving on the committee that decides what vaccines will be added to the vaccine schedules for each of the states. In fact, we're receiving large sums of money from the vaccine manufacturers. One of them, of which was Dr. Offit, who makes the media circuit, telling that the people that are opposing vaccines and trying to link it to autism are all crazy. Well, he made $29 to $45 million. He won't say the exact sum off a Rotashield, rotavirus vaccine, while he served on the committee that chose what vaccines would be used, and one of them was the rotavirus. So they looked into us, and one of the interesting things they found, for instance, was that the FDA standards for defining conflicts of interest are ridiculously broad. For example, a committee member who owns $25,000 stock in an affected company is deemed to have low involvement interest and is usually automatically waived. That means he could go ahead and vote on the vaccine. In fact, a member could own up to $100,000 in stock in an affected company, be graded as medium involvement, and still allowed to vote on the vaccine. They found a committee member that was receiving $250,000 a year from the maker of a vaccine, and he was on the board that chose these vaccines.
Well, was anybody concerned about this guy who was making somewhere between $25 and $49 million and making decisions on the vaccines? Wouldn't somebody think that might be a slight conflict of interest?
Well, you'd think anyone with any sense, but they allowed him to vote. And, you know, so his decision is what affects what vaccines your child gets before they can go to school. There's an interview I saw with him, and he made the statement that it would be safe for a child to get 10,000 vaccines. And they asked him later, did you make the statement that a child could safely take 10,000 vaccines? And he said, yeah, I would change it to 100,000. Well, I sent word to him through someone else. I said, well, I'll challenge you. Far less than that. Let's just give you all the vaccines that a child gets before they start school all at once. And so far, I haven't seen that he's accepted the challenge.
All right, fine. We've got Eric calling from Michigan. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But ladies and gentlemen, we have certainly ethical malpractice, certainly at the highest levels of our government, the FDIC, I should say, in the FDA and certainly in the NIH. And a lot of these people, you know, certainly when they get through working for the organizations or for the EPA, then they go to work for the various companies that they've been regulating, and there is absolutely nothing to keep them from doing that. We've got Eric, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, I do, and a comment. What you just mentioned, Dr. Stan, I wish we could watch nationwide endeavor to prohibit just that kind of activity, eliminate the lobbyists, eliminate this revolving door of government entities to work as lobbyists.
Okay, do you have a quick question for our guest?
Yes. There's a book that I learned about over the weekend entitled Innocent Casualties, the FDA's War on Humanity, and the author, Elaine F. EUER, I checked with the local bookstore Borders, and they said that they didn't have access, wasn't available, and I was wondering if Doctor knew about that book.
All right, fine. The question is, and the title of the book again?
Innocent Casualties, the FDA's War on Humanity.
All right, fine. Do you know anything at all about that,
I've heard of it. I haven't read it.
All right, fine. We carry a book called What You Should Know About the Drug Companies by Dr. Marcia Angel. Dr. Angel was the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. She was Sydney on the staff at Harvard. She wrote a book about what you should know about the drug companies, which goes into the FDA. And, of course, they went after her. They targeted her. They watched everything she did. I know that because I personally debated somebody from the pharmaceutical industry, one of their public relations people, and they knew every television and radio program she was on, and they gave her such a bad time she wouldn't even answer her emails. So, yes, Jack, we need to do something about it, but it's not going to change until the people really care. But thanks so much for calling. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for our guest, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And great tragedies, ladies and gentlemen, that when you take fear of God out of a society, when you remove any allegiance to God, why shouldn't people, if they're going to make millions of dollars by simply corrupting their morals, by risking the lives of other people as long as they're protecting their own families, why shouldn't they do it? If there's no punishment for crime, if you can get away from it, if there's no afterlife, you're never going to stand before a throne of judgment and have to explain why you did what you did. And I think we're seeing the end result of what happens when a nation turns against God. Well, what can we do, Russell? Because you've got tremendous information, and certainly the Vaccine Information Center has tremendous information, National Vaccine Information Center, and certainly the book that you have wrote the foreword to, The Vaccine Safety Manual by Neil Mellor, tremendous information. But how are we going to reach the average individual?
Well, I think we need to write letters to the editor. People need to get on the radio, the television. They need to write their representatives. We need to keep this issue in the forefront. I mean, we've seen how effective it is when the public voices their outrage over national health insurance. We need the same sort of outrage about this vaccine nonsense. I mean, it's just gotten to the proportion now where we're going to destroy the lives of most people in the United States if we don't stop this insanity. They have over 250 vaccines in the making for every person in this country. Look at this Gardasil nonsense. I mean, the vaccine company was going from state to state putting money in the hands of politicians, for instance, the governor of Texas. To pass mandatory vaccination for 12-year-old girls with the Gardasil vaccine until they finally was publicly exposed and they made them stop it. But like Stan said, these people have no sense of God or fact that they're going to face their punishment in the afterlife. So they feel that they can do whatever they want. I mean, these are the same type of people who financially ruined hundreds of thousands of investors without any thought at all about it. Didn't bother them in the least. These are the same company CEO types that are running these vaccine companies. And if they can encourage government and the World Health Organization to have forced vaccination of 4.9 billion people, that's an enormous profit. And Novartis, the lead company, said they will not give away any vaccine. Everybody's going to have to pay.
Well, but the government's already actually authorized some $7 or $8 billion. You know, they've already spent $1 billion, and they're targeting another $7 or $8 billion, so they can just provide it for everybody because we're from the government. We're here to help. Well, we've got Dorothy calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Dorothy. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to your program about the vaccines, and we have such an increased incidence of Alzheimer's, dementia. And I'm wondering if there's any connection between that and the flu shots that they push on our older people. And
all right, that's a very good question. Well, do you think there's any relationship between the influenza, the influenza vaccine, which contains mercury, and, of course, the skyrocketing rates of Alzheimer's disease, because Alzheimer's and dementia are certainly increasing in the elderly?
Well, absolutely. You know, I do extensive research in this area, and I'm doing a lot of intense research and putting together all the research in this area, showing a link between chronic activation of the brain's immune system by systemic vaccination and other things to produce this dementia. You know, and it's amazing how much research there is out there that shows a link. Now, the mercury component of it, what we know is micro components of mercury in nanograms. This is about as small a unit as you can get, will produce significant destruction of brain connections, just like you see in Alzheimer's disease. We know that in Alzheimer's disease, mercury levels in that part of the brain are higher in people who have the disease than those that don't. We know their blood mercury levels higher than those that don't have Alzheimer's. So there is a strong connection to mercury. Well, you're giving the elderly a dose of mercury every year since about the time they were 50 years of age. So it's an accumulative dose that does not leave the brain. Once it's in the brain, this ethyl mercury is converted to ionic mercury and stays there a lifetime.
What about the aluminum?
Well, the aluminum as well, because the only approved adjuvant now in the United States is aluminum adjuvant. And I have a study in which they radio tagged, they put a little tag radioactive tracer on the aluminum in the vaccine and traced it to the brain. So we know that aluminum ends up from the vaccine site into the brain. Well, you give them a dose of mercury, of aluminum as well every year. And we know that these two metals interact in the brain and increase each other's toxicity. So that mercury dramatically increases aluminum's toxicity and vice versa. And when you vaccinate, once that mercury and that aluminum is in the brain, it produces an even more intense reaction. So you can increase the toxicity of mercury just by vaccinating.
Well, Dorothy, does that answer your question?
Yes. Here's the thing, though. You know, these flu shots are pushed, and even the doctors, oh, you've got to have that flu shot.
You just ask him if he'll sign a little paper for you that say he'll be fully responsible if there are any possible complications from it. And since he knows that there's no complications, you just sign your name here and you'll be financially responsible if there are any complications. I bet he won't sign it.
Well, in most states, it's not mandatory. Just tell him you don't want it.
Just tell him you don't want it, and if he insists, you find yourself another doctor.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. What about the Amish?
Hold that thought. Dorothy, go right ahead. You were asking about the Amish.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
What you love, tell people not to take the vaccine, because of course we do not know, it's experimental, and not only that, but they've done a bait and switch before. Why should we trust them now? They've lied to us about so many other things, about the cancer virus and the vaccine, about the experimental vaccine within the last 2 months. Baxter created millions of doses of influenza vaccine and just accidentally included the deadly avian flu virus. It wasn't a vaccine. It was the avian flu virus, and it killed all the ferrets over in Czechoslovakia that were injected with it, so they didn't give it to the people. They could have killed millions, if not hundreds of millions of people in Europe with that vaccine. And what happened to Baxter? Absolutely nothing. They said, "Oh, shucks, we don't know how it happened." Well, Sydney, you need to get Dr. Russell Blaylock's DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development. You need to get, certainly, the excellent DVD by Dr. Ayub, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Control. Mercury Autism and Global Population Control. And when you get the DVD, you get a free CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages of documents going into the background of the danger, of the very real danger of mercury. And we think it's a vitally important thing that every American should see, everybody who loves their children. It goes into the CDC's reports of where they actually tell you that there was this one study where they proved that thymol aerosol wasn't harmful. The only trouble was that everybody in the study died. Everybody in the study died, but they died of meningococcal meningitis, so the thymol aerosol didn't kill them. At least they said it didn't. We don't know what killed them. But everybody in the study died, and they say that makes thymol aerosol safe. What madness is that? You need to get the DVD we have by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. You need to get the DVD we have from Dr. Russell Blaylock. It's in our that's Vaccines and Brain Development. We have a 4-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets with Dr. Russell Blaylock. We carry his DVD, Nutrition and Brain Development. We have a 4-tape set on vaccines. And then we have a 4-CD set on Vaccine Update. That's 4 CDs, Vaccine Update 2009, to give you the latest information on the danger of vaccines and the harm they're doing. We carry a little book by Neil Miller. It's called Are Vaccines Safe and Effective? We have a book called Autism, put out by Neil Miller. It's simply the congressional hearings were totally suppressed by the controlled media. That's autism. We actually carry the new book. It's called Sacred Spark. It's a story of a family that was devastated because of autism. And, of course, the epilogue is written by Dr. Mark Geyer. And it goes into the cover-up at the national level. They are covering up the truth. They know the danger, and it's being suppressed. And when government officials went before the congressional committee and lied to the congressman, and Dan Burton, head of the committee, went to the Justice Department and said, these people lied, Justice Department refused to intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an organized effort to conceal the truth from the American people. You can get it from Radio Liberty, our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We actually carry so much more. You can go to our website of radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And look at the things we have and get them out, because the life you save could be of a loved one, could be even certainly your own life. Vaccines are effective, but they're not safe. And, well, you need to go to the background. Look up that DVD, that 60 Minutes, up on the National Vaccine Information Center website, and then please pray for America, pray for revival, for our provision and our protection.